How did Mr. Correa wind up at the U of I? How did he come here?
We were known in the economics department as being very sympathetic to Latin American students who applied here. We also had some funds which we got from various foundations to support Latin American students. So there was a tradition of lots of Latin Americans applying here. And he was one of the applicants. We hadn't had many students from Ecuador, so he was admitted to our PhD program. He already had a master. He was a little older than the average when he started the PhD here. He had a master's degree from Belgium, and he was already a professor at the San Francisco University, which is a private university in Quito, Ecuador. So that's how he came here, studied. He was an excellent student.
Did he have aspirations of politics?
No, not at all. He got his PhD in 2001 and returned to the university. He had an obligation to that university, and he was interested in being a professor. So he went to the San Francisco University in return and taught. I don't quite know how he got to be the finance minister or the economics minister, but I don't know. I haven't been that much in touch with him. But anyway, he was the minister. He disagreed with the policies and resigned within 4 months. But the way he resigned and the speech he made about his resignation made him very popular. And that's when he decided to go into politics.
So this is a fairly rapid rise. As politicians
very rapid, go. Yes. Yeah.
What was his field of study?
Oh, he studied, his major field was international economics and economic development. And he did his doctoral dissertation. Many of our students choose the format of writing 3 essays as the doctoral dissertation. And his 3 essays were concerned with the impact of what we call neoliberalism on Latin America. That is to say, the lowering of tariff barriers, exit of the state from participating directly in the economy, and so on and so forth. That was sort of based on what was called in those days the Washington Consensus. And what he was interested in seeing what was the impact of these neoliberal policies on the economic growth of the region and also on the distribution of income. That was one of his major theses. Area. The other one, he wrote an essay on the impact of the Andean Pact. The Andean Pact was an attempt by the Andean countries, the countries along the Andes, to have a common market. Those were his major interests. But he always had an interest on distribution of income, which in most Latin American countries is very concentrated.
Has that philosophy been borne out in his campaign, running on a very populist platform? Have those thoughts been fairly consistent through?
They're consistent. What people don't realize, he's interested in distribution of income. He's not against the market. He's not against private property. But when he talks about renegotiating some contracts, well, any business does that. I mean, you're in business and you have a country you don't like, you want to renegotiate it.
Including renegotiating
foreign debt. Renegotiating the foreign debt and renegotiating the bases that the United States has there. What's wrong with that? I mean, if the big corporations occasionally renegotiate with their suppliers the contracts they have, why shouldn't a country like Ecuador do it?
That's been a fairly consistent line among some of the newer leaders
exactly.
who have been elected in
sure.
Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
Exactly, yeah. So I think putting him down as a leftist, as a dangerous leftist, I think it's an invention of the press.
But it is a new route for leaders in those countries.
A new route is that they'd like to take a more independent stance vis-a-vis, especially the United States. But that doesn't mean that they necessarily want to that he wants to confront the United States. I don't think so.
How does he? Obviously, when you look at those media articles, they make comparisons with Hugo Chavez, who has been very strident in his opposition to American policy, and has not made any bones about it. Is it an unfair comparison to make between Mr. Correa and Chavez?
Oh, I think it is an unfair because Chavez was a military. He had a coup. He was leader of a coup, and then which failed, and later on got himself elected. He doesn't really know the United States. And I think he's just a demagogue, I mean, who thinks that the way to remain popular is to be to try to get the support of the poorest of the poor who live on the hills around Caracas. I don't think this is the case with Rafael Correa. First of all, Rafael Correa knows other countries. He lived in Europe, and then he lived 4.5 years in the United States. He taught at universities. So I think he's quite a different sort of person.
He will maintain relations with the leader of Venezuela, yet maintain relations with the
yes,
U.S.
Yes, if he's smart, why not? Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel he'll do as a leader in Ecuador? Knowing the problems that leaders in South America face, including things such as the mounting debt with the Western world.
Well, I don't know if the debt is that crucial. I mean, at least as long as prices of oil are high, I mean, they're sitting on a considerable amount of oil, and that certainly might help things out. It's very hard to predict how he will be as an administrator. I knew him as a fellow scholar, and that's quite different. When people get into power, things change. I have faith that he's basically an honest person and is a person of goodwill. But again, it's very hard to say. I've known people who are just outstanding colleagues and scholars who, when they got in a position of power, they changed. It's like the Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. My guess is that he should be compared a little more to the president of Brazil. When the president of Brazil was first elected, in the campaign that led to his election, he made some very radical pronouncements about, defaulting on the debt and so on and so forth. And the markets were scared, etc. But once he was in power, he became very reasonable. As a matter of fact, right now, he's the darling of Wall Street. So I wouldn't be surprised if Correa, again, now that he has won the election, will not be quite as radical as he's been portrayed by the press.
How much progress can a Correa or a President Lula can make in, as you mentioned, the distribution of wealth in nations where the distribution is so wide and there is such poverty?
Well, certainly some reforms will be needed in the administration, some reforms in wages, the wage policies, some reform in terms of who has access to credit, etc. There he will probably have to step on the toes of lots of vested interests, especially vested interests in the landowning classes, etc. I mean, the man he defeated is the Banana King. He was a huge landowner, and I think one big problem in the agricultural sector has been the concentration of land ownership. Now, you don't necessarily have to disregard private property. You can simply say that badly used lands will be taxed much more highly than others, and this might lead to a redistribution of land. This is just one possibility. But the same thing will be true: where is he going to spend money? How much money is going to be spent on improving the educational system, especially access of the poor to education? In other words, the elite have lots of privileges, and these privileges, to what extent do they hurt, let's say, the welfare of the masses? That remains to be seen. So I think, I'm not an expert. I know a lot about Latin America, but my expertise is much more in countries like Brazil. So I don't know the details of the Ecuadorian economy, but I think there's lots he can do to improve the distribution of income, to improve the access of the masses to decent education, which then leads to a better standard of living.
You touched on this before, but as he was a student on this campus, did you note any qualities that he may bring into a leadership role as the head of a nation?
Not really. He was an excellent teaching assistant. He was a very popular teacher. He's very charming. He knows how to speak to groups and make complex ideas accessible. let's say, to students. I've never observed him in an administrative role. I mean, he was a graduate student and he was a teacher here, and he was a scholar, an excellent scholar. And then I got to know him as a friend, as a person, and just a very a hell of a nice person. That's all I can say. I cannot say, you know. I mean, if you are elected governor tomorrow, will you be a good governor? I don't know. You're excellent in what you're doing now. Whether you're excellent as a governor, that remains to be seen. So it's very hard to predict how a person is going to act once they are in a position of power.